Now then, beloved, shall we turn to the scriptures? You know, I couldn't help wondering when our dear brother Norman read that scripture in Revelation. I thought to myself, and I always do this when I'm reading the scriptures of truth, I couldn't help wondering just how those wonderful words come, were originally spoken or intended in the Spirit of God. I'm not preaching to you now, I'm just commenting. We're going in other scripture than this. But our beloved brother read this scripture and he said that if we take away from the words of this prophecy, what if this word come, just this one word was taken away out of this book? What if that word come, if we all decided that we just take that one word out of the book? We'd all deserve to go to hell 1,000 times. And what if the Spirit and the Bride had said, go! Instead of come, what? Or perhaps if it was read this way, the Spirit and the Bride say, come! And let him that heareth say, come. Is that what I hear? Let him that heareth say, are they really saying, come? Could I come? Am I hearing right? Glory, you're hearing right. Isn't it that God is saying that everybody who hears just keep repeating, come, 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 come. It is, beloved, that the feeling and power of the Spirit of God and the risen Christ should reach your heart at the very end of the book, at the end of the journey. The last thing that said, if you die, die when it rings in your ears. And if you should die and go to hell, yet let that be ringing in your ears, for God is true. And God wants you to come. And if it rises in your heart, say, well, am I really invited to come? Is it me? Well, if you've got ears to hear, hear it. And come, and glory be to the name of the Lord. And Jesus loves that word so much that he says, behold, I come. That's right. And sometimes you may all crossing off your list now and say you can't interpret the Bible. Well, you please yourself what you think. Sometimes I wonder whether the Lord is saying, I'll come and I'll come quickly. If you come to drink, I want to come and drink of you. I want to drink of the fountain of life and love and purity and wonder in your heart. Not that it will give him life. But you know what Paul said, don't you? He said, well, now we live if we know you are standing. And this is the great answer of the Lord Jesus Christ. I come quickly. Of course he's coming quickly in a moment of time when he comes, in the twinkling of an eye. But oh, how quickly he comes to every heart that really says, oh Lord, is it I? Are you calling me? Am I hearing right? You are hearing absolutely right. You come. Amen. Now I would like you to turn with me to the Galatian letter. And in this letter of Paul to the Galatians, go with me through this precious little book and find out some wonderful truth for all our hearts to know and enter into. Praise his wonderful name. Firstly then, in the sixth chapter, and by the way, if you forget to get up and get your breakfast in the morning, don't forget your Bible when you come to the meeting. And if you do happen to forget it, go back and get it. Because all that will be said, and I would like to let you into a little secret, that I have soundly admonished and pointed to my good brother Norman Meeting and told him that he's to come prepared to preach at this conference and not just sit in a chair and safely guide me onto the right line sometimes. That's right. So you all know he's a naughty boy if he doesn't. And this is then our beginning, beloved, together. And this is how it rose in my heart in thinking about coming and spending this week here. And what a glorious place it is. You know, I couldn't help thinking when we sung that hymn, "Come, Holy Ghost, for Thee I call." If I was a gambling man, and I'm not, I would gamble my whole life that in this hall those words have been sung year after year and meeting after meeting. Why, over there in the luxury part of it all, where I happen to be having a room, there is a plaque which is a glorious testimony to a man, the Wesleyan minister who was a principal of this college years ago. Yes, here, beloved, these great truths were sung. And I want to say this, that the Holy Ghost has fallen in this room many, many, many times. Not according to man's patterns, because you can't railroad the Holy Ghost. You can't order him to stop away unless it's done according to your pattern. But he's come, beloved, here, and the Lord has wrought glorious things. And the man that first ran me up here from Bradford when we first heard that we could have Cliff College, perhaps as a venue for our conference this year, said to me when he passed a little, what seemed to me, a wicket gate down the road. He said to me, "Brother, out of that gate, countless hundreds of young men have gone to the end of the world and throughout this land to preach the gospel of the baptism in the Holy Ghost and fire." Amen. What a tremendous privilege it is then for us, beloved, to be here together. And what does it matter if some of you have hard beds and I have a soft one? I swap with you if it's too hard for you. Room 59, just come and see. Providing it's a gents room. What does it matter, beloved, that we can be here together and God can minister to us? You know, reminiscing, somebody said to me tonight, a little earlier, "I can see you're excited." So I said, "Yes, I am." And when I looked back, when I looked in here and I saw you all there, I saw people I knew and loved all over the place. Oh, I thought, isn't this glorious? That's what I thought. You can think what you like. Hope God converts you if you think differently than that. It's a wonderful thing to be together tonight. A wonderful privilege. And my mind does go back to the time when we first convened the summer convention conference way up there in the Wirral, and I guarantee that those beds were harder there than you're going to sleep on. Is that right, sister? Were you there? That's right. Jane and I had quite a nice bed in the Doncroft. But still, there it was. That's the way I get treated, as though I'm soft. But never mind, beloved. I remember when we all said together, and we that were together, we said, we only want those to come that are wanting God. That's all we really wanted in the first day. I suppose we got too soft by the time we got to Swanwick level last year. I don't know whether we did or whether we didn't, but we may be able to say something about future conferences a little later in the week, or next week in our week together. But we only came together because we wanted God. We wanted what the book said. We wanted to be in fellowship. We loved one another. That's right. And moreover, we still do. And we wanted to love more and more. I don't mean in quantity, I mean in people. More and more, may God lead our hearts into all the fullness of this revelation from heaven in Jesus Christ. And that's all that we seek together here. Glory be to his name. To this end, then, we will look into this book. And in this sixth chapter of the Galatian letter, we read these words. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I am glad that Paul spoke to thee as a brother. I'm glad that he put that word brother or brethren, brothers of course, it's plural, after that thing that he had said. For it means that I am qualified by the same grace of Jesus Christ to bear the same marks as Paul, my big brother, in the end, before I go home. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful privilege? Now you all ought to be standing up and shouting glory. Or perhaps you don't think it's such a wonderful privilege. But I want to tell you, beloved, that this is the thing that's always in the hearts of men that know God. It's always there. It's the inescapable logic and law of the cross. It must work out ultimately along these lines. Whether I bear identical marks in my body as Paul isn't quite the point. I don't suppose he bore identical marks in his body as Jesus, our great Lord, bore. Not identical ones. That's not the important thing. It isn't the way we dot our I's or cross our T's that matters so much. It's this that we understand, beloved, that God is talking to us on this level. Here, firstly, in verse 10, you will see that Paul is speaking of a company who are described thus. They are of the household of faith. Now, beloved, the household of faith is the household of God. Amen. And in God's household, and one of these days you must really get down to study about this. We may do it, if God leads this way, during the course of the conference. But if we don't, you do it yourselves. And get down to things that are said about God's house in this book. We can't look into all the details of it now, but this is the glorious revelation that God has given to us. There is a great household of which God is the head. And it is from him, working amongst the great family of God through Jesus Christ, all these wonderful things that we're going to look at together in a moment or two in the course of the next hour. We shall see these things working out, and I have mentioned already just one logical outworking of the glorious cross of the Lord Jesus Christ in the family of God, in the household of faith. If a man failed to be faithful enough, he can't get there. But God is always faithful, and he will see through to the end every one of those that belong to his household. He will bring us through onto the God play, unto the God accepted, commended, and given life. He will bring us all through on that level. Our brother has already made reference and how true it is to this fact that it's very doubtful. He was very positive about it, that there are only two of us in this conference who are exactly at the same spiritual place. I reckon he's right. But, beloved, we all ought to be in the same household anyway. And we all ought to be in that glorious place where God can bring us through unto the ultimates. Hallelujah. He's already used the word, our precious brother, the highest, the ultimates, the end. Amen. Now I take it that we're here together, beloved, because this is chiefly what is in all our hearts. This isn't the place to come if that be not the objective of our gathering. Because God wants to take us through there. All right then. If you belong to the household of faith, then know this, that in every household there has to be a father. And in the first chapter, this is what we read. Verse 1. Good to start with father, that's where it all starts. It's good to finish up talking about the household. That's fine too. But here it is, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren that are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And so in those first five verses we're introduced to our Father. Praise his wonderful name. This, of course, is the great revelation that Jesus Christ came to give. Not that God was God. If you read that in the Old Testament, this will be one of the most wonderful things, perhaps, that will ever come to your heart. These men of old had a glorious view of the majesty of God, of the Lord. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And you have to get nearly to the end of that great prophecy, where you know I'm quoting Isaiah, before you come across the word Father. But the revelation of God, His glory, His majesty, His awful purity, His power, everything. But, as I say, you have to come nearly to the end of the prophecy, you all know what chapter, of course, before you come across this great word, Father. But when Jesus came into the world, oh, praise, I think this is what you read in the Hebrews, I'll be to him a father, he'll be to me a son. This was the great revelation. And the first thing you hear him saying is, I must be about my Father's business. Praise him. And then you go on and on and on through the Gospels, and especially in John's Gospel, and you find that it's the Father heart that's being revealed. Oh, beloved, would that all our hearts understood as God's heart knows this great love and desire in him, in giving his Son, Jesus Christ, his only begotten, to bring us all up into the privilege of being sons, as Jesus is a son, by that great grace of so dealing in all our lives. And what a wonderful thing it is, what a glorious thing it is. Already I have come in the wonder of it all, that him that heareth should say, come. Is he calling me? Does he want me? That he should take us up, each one with tender love and compassion, and see in us a likeness to his own glorious Christ. That's it. Now, beloved, that's what God is after. We can get concerned in so many things as we read through the book that God is after, doing away with this corrupt world, doing away with the present universe, doing away with sin, doing away with this and doing away with the other, bringing in this and bringing in that. Is all so marvelous, but there's nothing so wonderful quite in heaven or earth as this, that God should have children. Glory to his name, that God should have children. Why, I know a man, a young man, and it wasn't so many, very months ago, he came rushing up and he said, isn't it wonderful, we're going to have a baby, he said. Isn't it wonderful? That's right. It's hard. You see, how about Jesus? How about God? How about Father? There's more joy in heaven when a child is born unto God than when sinners are forgiven. And I tell you, my beloved brothers and sisters, that God more delights to beget a son than he does to forgive a sin. And Jesus told you what a wonderful thing it was in heaven. Joy in the presence of the angels when somebody repents and gets their sins forgiven. Hallelujah. God can forgive sins ad infinitum. But he can only beget sons after the likeness and image of his glorious Jesus. This is the most wonderful thing. Most wonderful. World upon world hang upon his hand. Nothing in God to create a new universe. What then? People make such a song and a dance about that. Glory be to the name of the Lord. When, shall I say, a bundle of eternal life comes out of God? Let go and wonder, ye wise men and ye shepherds. Nothing so wonder, so holy, so tender, so glorious, so indescribable. Nothing. Father. Glory. There isn't a household unless there's a father. There's a house with an occupier, perhaps. But you can only have a household if you've got a family and a father. That's right. That's wonderful. Well, if you have a father, you must have a mother. All right, then. We'll have a look in the fourth chapter. In this fourth chapter, here's the great, glorious truth. Well, where shall we start? 22. It is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants. The one, the old covenant, from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, that answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Glory. There's the mother in this great house hold of God. There is a great mother. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. Glory. Is that right? Amen. Now, beloved, this is the thing which all our hearts must see. I want to repeat this over and over again, for I see that this misunderstanding here has brought many, many hearts into bondage. You must be sure as you know who is your father, you must know who is your mother, according to Scripture. I find so many people that talk about God being their father, but when I examine their state, I find that they're born of the bondwoman, and they're in bondage to this day. They're in bondage to this, they're in bondage to that, they're in mental bondage, they're in physical bondage, they're in emotional bondage, they're in social bondage, they're in religious bondage, they're in denominational bondage, they're in ideology bondage, they're in all kinds of bondage. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Listen to the Scripture. Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Amen. Glory! And when you're born of the right mother, you're born free. Amen. You're born free. Why? There are some people supposed to be deliverance experts that spend all their lives delivering so-called Christians from bondages. I always doubt whether they've even been born, because my Bible says you're born free. That's what my Bible teaches me. I don't know whether your Bible teaches you that, but my Bible teaches me that. Born free, glory be to the name of the Lord. And all you have to do is to listen to the truth, and it sets you free from all the notions you may have gathered up through the years. Amen. From this background, that heredity, this way you come, and what training you've received and everything else, there is a glorious liberty about our Jerusalem, which is above, beloved, why it's so free. Look, you can read it for yourself. I thought Professor Norman was going to obey my exhortation and give us a good preaching at the beginning, when he read that last chapter of Revelation. You read it, the chapter preceding it. Oh, the gates are open day and night. Everybody's free there. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Everybody's free. Nobody has to be kept locked up there. Nobody, nor locked out. Praise God. It's all free. Hallelujah. I can go in and out. I can go up and down in it, apparently. It's a glorious, glorious liberty, beloved. It's being born aright. Glory be to the Lord. May the Lord in his grace bring us all into such a fullness of liberty this night even, leave alone during the remainder of this conference, that we can move in and out about there. If you read there, that's where the throne of God is, that's where the Lamb is, that's where the living water is, that's where the tree of life is, that's where the gold is, that's where the crystals lie, that's where the ruby is, that's where the diamonds are, that's where all the treasures lie, there in my mother. I inherited that in a nature down here. All of those glorious treasures, those figures brought to the mind speak of, I have inherited them in my own spiritual nature from my glorious God, my mother, if I may be allowed to say so. For God, by the miracle, brought me forth into eternal life, both fathering and mothering me into this glory and wondrous nature and personality and everything else. It's marvelous, beyond degree, indescribable. You've got to live there to know it. Amen.
Glory, Lord.
She's free. That's what the book says. That's my mother. This is the household. Oh, hallelujah. Now you see why I said earlier that every one of us is brought into this glorious privilege of going through in the end, even bearing our bodies the stigma and the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. Glory. That's a tremendous thing, isn't it? Most people that I find are having tremendous struggles about that, but wait a moment. Is there a clock? We need looking for it. No, it doesn't matter. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now let's go and look a little further. In this great third chapter, we're on holy ground. I suppose none of us have doubted that. We were on very, very holy ground. And in this great third chapter, in verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, or for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Now come on then, he's after the manner of men now. That's right down on our level. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannul it, or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And so, beloved, in this glorious household, let's all mark it. There is father, and there is mother, so there is seed. And everyone must be born of this same glorious seed, or he's never been born. This is the seed of God. And as God is free, so is everyone that's born of him. This isn't our idea that God has. This isn't a star he made. This isn't a handful of dust that he formed of the ground. This isn't anything else but his own direct and personal seed that children should be born of God. This is where the whole idea of fatherhood and motherhood and children came from, out of the being and heart of God. And this is the tremendous truth. Every one of us, beloved, must understand that when this tremendous miracle takes place, it is a transaction in perfect love between God the Father and God the Holy Ghost, that he by his own nature and from himself should bring forth children that should be an honor and a glory to his name forevermore. That's why you have children. That's a whole tremendous revelation, and may God open our hearts to it in the sacred love of the Holy Ghost, that we should understand what this great life is all about. It isn't a haphazard going along and hearing something somewhere and believing something or anything of that nature. It is the deliberate act of God moving by the revelation of his truth to hearts that men and women should be arrested. And you've already said that they should hear the Spirit and the Bride say, come! And they should say, come! Have I heard it right? Is it I? That you should know the honor that's been conferred upon you. The glory of it all. The indescribable grandeur that I, what makes angels bow down and worship. Jesus Christ. Glory to God. When a man or woman is born into the family of God, born again from in New Jerusalem, it is the holiest transaction, beloved. It is the most glorious thing. And as for people saying they're Christians and born again and continuing in sin and going on in the same old way, and our hearts go out to people that are so bound. Our hearts go out to them, my beloved, our sympathies and our all things, sentimentalities mustn't run out to people at the expense of this majesty and glory of God. That God should stoop down to us in all our sin, in all our uncleanness, in all our worldliness, in all our being part of this system that has rejected and crucified his blessed Son, and we should wallow on it and go on in mistaken sentimental sympathy with people, beloved. Ah, where our hearts must be touched by their need, but oh, let's live for this sacred name of Jesus. Let's live for this glory and this honor. Men and women should know the glory that God should confer upon them, this tremendous privilege. Angels can't have it. It's for you, my beloved brother and sister. It's for you and for me. This wonder, this glory, this which defies description. Makes John cry out when he writes his letter and says, I can't sin. Of course you can't. Sin? What's that got to do with the household of God? Is that a regulation in God's family? Hallelujah. Let's know, beloved, let's go through together as we're starting this week in God's presence. Let's know the ground we're on. Let's recognize this sacred truth. Let our hearts go out to it. Let the Spirit of God teach us. Let's go home transformed people. Let's go home shouting the glory and name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go home to walk in this wonder. Why, when this first dawned on my heart, I was all in an awe. I was all in a wonder. God knows. God knows I didn't know whether I was walking on the earth or not. God knows. Praise God. I was so sort of awed and overcome and nearly dazed to everything outside. But just this sacred thing in my heart, everything else seemed to be way out of it, miles away from it. Flesh and blood wasn't in it. My own relatives, oh well, you except those that were in it, you know what I mean? I'm talking about my personal experience. Hallelujah. I was God's. And I knew I was God's. Oh, glory. Glory, this dispelled everything. This is the work of that precious one who operates with God in the office of my mother, called the Holy Ghost. Amen. That Holy Spirit, by whom God my Father, through whom God begot me to himself, my glorious Father, that Holy Spirit. That's her, if I may call him her, you will understand. Bless the Lord, my heart is transformed with the glory of it now, as I contemplate. Amen. Let's go on then. And in this same glorious chapter 3, you'll find in verse 26 that you're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, there are the children now. That was the glorious father, mother, seed. Now the children. Now, you must never read your Bible in the universalist manner and say, you're all the children of God. That's universalism. It's a rank heresy. But he says, you're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's right. And then you read on and find what that faith, if you have it, will accomplish in your life. The next verse. Amen. Glory. The revelation and manifestation of this precious, precious seed of God that God held in his bosom from all eternity. This seed that became flesh. This glorious life that was manifest in our humanity, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, as sure, when you were begotten again of the will of God, thy precious Father and the Holy Ghost, you were predestinated unto this fullness of life in the seed. And the fullness of the life, the seed by which you were begotten, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made manifest. That's the fullness of the life. Isn't you ascribing unto some holiness doctrines or some higher life theories? It's Jesus Christ who, when he lived down here on earth, lived a lower life. Apparently, he humbled himself. And this is the glory of it all, beloved. You're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Is that right? If I slipped you, put your hands up, all of you that know you're children of God by faith of Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Could you do that? Could you stand up and say, Amen, glory, I know I am. I know I am. I'm one of God's children. I mean, you might be very pleased about Negro spiritual, about all God's children got shoes and they're going to walk all over God's heaven with your shoes and all this sort of folky, wokey stuff that's put over. Beloved, you've got to know. You've got to know. Inside. Amen. You're a child of God in this great household of faith. Amen. And how glorious it is, a child of God. I was at a place somewhere not so long ago now, I forgot quite where it was. But I went for two or three or four days' meetings, I've forgotten now. But the dear pastor of the church, on the first meeting, he got up and he made some little speech, which often people so kindly do, about the servant of the Lord that had come. You see, meaning me. They just smiled. But and this went on for about 2 days, and I think I was there for 5 days. So after about midway through the second day, I said, I couldn't stand it any longer. I said, I'm not pastor North anyway, not now. I stopped pastoring church for years. And I'm not a servant of the Lord particularly. I want you all to know that I'm a son of God. I said, I haven't come here as a servant, I've come as a son. Amen. There are servants in God's household, you've got to understand this. There are vessels in God's household, some to honor, some to dishonor. I said, you must study this through your Bible. But I'm a son. Glory! I'm going to abide in the house forever. Jesus said it. The servants won't. They'll bring in their gold, they'll bring in their silver, they'll bring all their treasures into us, but they'll have to go out again. They can't abide in Jerusalem forever. No, no, no. See, you want to know what your Bible's teaching. You want to know what your book says. For it's your book. God wrote it for you. He didn't have it. No, he didn't write it for himself. He knew it all. It's your book. You say, it's God's book. I'm telling you, it's yours. He didn't need a book. He doesn't have to read Isaiah 53, verse 6. What is it? If I said John 3:16, you would all have known it. But, you see, God doesn't have to do that. It's all right, you can catch me if you ask me on Zechariah 8, 9. This is the tremendous truth. Son. Child of God. That's the answer to the devil. Born to conquer. Born to live forever. Born the master of the devil. The master of the world. Born the master of everything. That's right. Glory! I know there's progress in all this realm. I know there's growth. But when I'm born unto a destiny and I'm predestinated unto it. That's right. And that's a wonderful and a glorious thing. And the devil can't do anything about it except grind his teeth. That's a fact. And the Lord will use him now and again. Not all the time. You know, don't you think you've got to look for the devil from the moment you get up in the morning to the moment you go to bed at night? Let's be careful. The devil will have me here. The devil will have me there. The devil will do something else. The devil will do anything of the sort. Unless you concede him your mind and your soul. And he'll have anything you give him. He's a wolf. Let a man walk in this knowledge. Amen. Glory. Must tell you a story. Would you like to hear it? It's a true story. Don't believe I've told you before. If I have, well, you just sort of do a grin and I'll know. This is a true one. I was away preaching just a few days, weeks ago. I don't think I've told any of you since then, but anyway. And I had to motor up from the south of England right up to... So I was going to Bradford, actually, to preach. And en route, I had to stop at Rugby. My wife, I have to see her occasionally. And she was with my daughter in Rugby. But I was motoring up the motorway in an opulent car. If you see it down there, it's not mine. It's a beautiful Rover. It'll make you all go green with envy. But that's the glory of a grand young farmer that lives down in there. And he says, you can have it when you like. I didn't want it to come to this conference, that's true. But in the end, he says, you have it, he says. So I've got it. But I was motoring in it, up the motorway, doing 70 miles an hour in the outside lane, very safely, very nicely, passing everything en route. Wonderful. And I like going past. I want to go as fast as I can into the fullness of the statue of Christ. Something about me. But this is the tremendous thing. After a while, I became aware that there was somebody flashing, putting on lights, and doing everything behind me. And, what's the matter? He must really be a robot. I mean, I was really doing 70. I was holding it right on the dot. He really must be wanting to break the law. So after a while, I eased over into the middle lane. He went past, and I expected to see the last of him. But when he got past, he slowed right down, flashed his lights, did everything, blinkers, lights. He waved like this. The young lady beside him waved like I thought he'd crash his car. He let go. He was going like this to me. I kept driving on and driving on. How long I'd been driving in this condition, I mean, say about a minute, I don't know. So I thought, I suppose I'd better draw over and see what it is. So I drew over to the hard shoulder. When I got out, I had a blowout. And I'd been motoring at 70 miles an hour, a blowout. Offside front wheel. That's the death threat. Is that right, all you motorists? I'd probably been riding like that 10 miles. I didn't know. Devil tried to kill me. I expect he was, but God didn't let him. You see, this is the thing. On the sort of windscreen, you'll find a little thing, and it says this: Jesus Christ, say yes, live today and forever. When I got out, changed over my wheels, I looked at this and I thought, yes, Lord. You kept that boat up on that lake of Galilee. You kept my car up. I didn't even know. I didn't know I got a flat tire. I had no knowledge how he held that up for perhaps 10, 20 miles at that speed. I don't know. But he did. Same hand that kept them up on the lake. You see, beloved, this is the thing. If our hearts, in his grace and love, will see and walk in this great revelation of truth, we're children of God. Amen. We have a natural right in the supernatural. To everything that Father has. We don't have to keep begging him for these things. He just gives them. I didn't ask him to keep me that day, and when I was driving, you might have thought that's very wicked of me being a conference speaker, but I didn't. I just got up in the morning and loved him, had a wonderful time. Went off. I didn't think to ask him to keep me. I don't reckon I had to. He seems to love me, to rely on him, to keep his end up, if I may put it that way, to do his business. If only he can rely on me. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. And I want him to be able to. Let's go on. Not only are we children of God, beloved, but in the second chapter, and this wonderful verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh. I've left out the other verses, but that's what he's saying, and the other words. The other words are very important, but I brought out the thing that I want you to see. It's not only important that you know you've got to be born again of the Spirit and of the seed of God, but it's a life in the flesh. There is flesh and blood in Father's household, as well as spirit and seed. Glory be to the name of the Lord. God's very concerned how his children live in the flesh. It is not true that God doesn't care. It is true that God cares 100%. It is true that God cares to all eternity on the way you live while you're on this earth for these 10, 20, 30, 40, it may be 50 years while you have flesh to live in it. You soon won't have it. You soon won't have it. God's very concerned for how that flesh of yours is treated. Most concerned. He has certain laws and rules which we will maybe consider broadly in a moment or two. Amen. The life I live in the flesh. Glory be to his wonderful name. God's very concerned about your flesh. And you see, beloved, there is only one way with you, the only one way that God can get you to live the life you should be living in the flesh, and that is to crucify you with Christ. That's the only way he could do it. He couldn't do it any other way. He couldn't do it by forgiving you day and night. He couldn't do it by talking to you day and night. He could only do it to you by that most tremendous deed that God was capable of. Crucifixion. That's the only way he could do it. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. That's it. And God has no other way of getting into your flesh, into the flesh realm, than that. You can't get into it any other way. You can't get into it by giving you nice devotional books to read, and saying the right sort of prayers, and saying hallelujah at the right time, or speaking in tongues, or something like that, or prophesying, or healing the sick, or anything of that nature. Glory be to the name of the Lord if you can do all these things by his grace. But he has one way and one way only. He wants to get into your flesh and he's got to crucify you out of it. Amen. That's the glory. That's the wonder of it. He's got to crucify you out of it. Isn't that a tremendous thing? And he can do. This is the power of the cross.
It can get into my affections. It can get into the very principles that govern the ruling of my earthly life. It can get everywhere by the power of this blessed Spirit of God. It can come into the laws of my mind. It can come into my tastes and my desires. It can come into my wills and my emotions. Hallelujah. God intends to bring it into all that ethical, total, called flesh. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. And not only into the ethical sense of it, but into the very blood and tissue of it, so that right down here in this flesh, in this body, you can live the life of the glorious Christ of God. That's right, beloved. Now everybody in God's household, by the desire of God and by the design of the Spirit, is predestined to live, pulling down all the resources of God and all the glories of that ultimate into this present by the Spirit through faith, predestined to live out the same life, the kind of life that Jesus Christ himself lived down here. This is what God wants. He doesn't want a lot of disembodied spirits going in and out of his household. He wants men of flesh and blood and all the ability to live in this life and in this world in victory and manifest forth the fact that Jesus Christ is the triumphant seed of God, capable of being reproduced in each one of us that believe unto the uttermost in him. That's what it's about. Oh, I needn't worry about going to heaven at the end of it all if I'll live in God's house down here, right? Oh, this is it. It's wonderful. Why, it fires my imagination. It thrills me above everything. Wants to make me leave everything else, everybody else. Amen. Glory, everything. I was talking with a dear brother here over the supper table, tea table, whatever you want to call it, and he said, "Oh, brother, I'm excited to go back. I'm just excited to go and do what God wants me to do." I know. I know. Yeah, it's wonderful. Glory be to the name of the Lord to live in this life where this very flesh, this very enemy of the Spirit, where this all these tastes and desires of mine that were against the sweetest and holiest and best and purest, against all that God could do, but just basically what a man could do. Oh, now they want God. "My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God," said a man of old. His flesh! His flesh crying out for God? Didn't God say to one of the first men that ever walked on the earth, "It's the blood that cries out. It's the blood that cries out. The voice of thy brother's blood's crying out to me. The blood in me is crying out to God. Do you believe it?" Yes. Say, that'll probably purify your bloodstream. You'll let it get hold of it. That's the truth. Say, "Well, I believe that Jesus' blood cries out." Oh, yes. Oh, so did Abel's. So did Abel's. Glory, glory, glory. You see, beloved, there's something about yourself that you don't know, and the scientists don't know, and the doctors don't know, and the psychiatrists don't know, and the theologians don't know. There's something about you as you. You're not cannon fodder. You're not bomb dust. You're not just to be given over to the lust dust of some man or some woman. You're not to be swept up in all these wretched things of the earth. Your body is to be sanctified and sweet, and your flesh made holy and made of glory to God. God's very concerned about your flesh. He said, if you go and get hold of a harlot, you'll become one with a harlot. Your flesh will become a harlot's flesh. You will, men too. That's right. You say, but surely that can't change your flesh. That's it. God looking at principles and patterns of things. More about that upon a later occasion. Oh, there's a principle in this seed of life from God. There's a pattern, it will work out in me. I don't need Pavlov's investigations. If Pavlov had read the Bible, he would know more than all his teachers. And anybody that reads the Bible, David says, listen, by thy word I have more knowledge than all my teachers. Come on, become a Bible student. He might not accept you into a professorial chair in a university, but that don't matter. That doesn't count. Here's the wonder of it all. There's a pattern that works from that seed. There is genetic life there. It will work one way. Let's go on then, and perhaps we ought to finish and into that same sixth chapter again. And this time I want to point you to a word that we read. That in this household of God, for all the children, because of the seed of life that's in you, and because of the father that begot you, and the mother that bare you, and because of the flesh life that you are supposed to be living on this earth. Listen, in this household also there are rules, 16, as many as walk according to this rule. What household would be worth calling a household if it had not rules? Wouldn't it be better called a madhouse? But the household of God is not a madhouse. There are rules, beloved. Are you prepared to live under the authority and discipline of God? Are you prepared to submit yourself unto God entirely and say, I will keep the rule of this house? If you read back into Ezekiel, you will find that when this great prophet of God had the revelation of the house of God, he said he saw the frame of the house. You will find that he says, and this is the law of the house. He didn't say the law from Sinai. He's looking on into the future as we now anticipate this glorious demonstration of this household of God in eternity. And already, beloved, the dawning of it is in our hearts. The rules of the house must be kept. You understand? Let's go back. In 15, here is something which introduces us to the truth of the rule of the house. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That's the rule. You are not allowed to behave as an old creature in any way in God's house. You are not allowed. It is not accepted to be kept constantly at the very entrance of the house, being washed in blood or something. Beloved, instead of being inside, living in the rules of the Spirit, I know you still need the power of the cleansing of the blood. I have spoken figuratively here. When you live in a house, you don't constantly live in the bathroom, do you? Is God mad? God, open our eyes. We brought this precious gospel down onto an old covenant basis. We interpreted it in terms of the old covenant. God forgive us. Amen. Glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a household rule that I must keep. Here's the rule: if any man be in Christ, there's no circumcision, there's no uncircumcision. In other words, national things don't count anymore. How you had the fortune or misfortune to be born, what country, what you were, makes no difference here. And glory be to God. Hallelujah. This is so wonderful. It doesn't matter what your cultures were. It doesn't matter about this. People say, oh, well, they go back to Mau Mau, or they go back to jigging and dancing like they did in the East End of London. That's where I was born. Glory be to God. There's a predestination unto a constant growth into the new. No going back, no throwbacks here. Perhaps I preach this way because I meet so many who seem to come to me as throwbacks. Throwbacks? Did we come from monkeys after all? We've come from God. Get thrown back on Him. You'll be glorious. Amen. May the Lord stimulate all this in our hearts till it burns like fire and the vision is kept before our eyes. We've got to walk this according to the new creation, and you can only do that one way. In the verse preceding that, God forbid that I should glory. Amen. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I was crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto me, and glory be to the name of the Lord. Doesn't say I'm trying to do it, it's done. But you see, we don't want the crossway, do we? Or do we? Hallelujah. You've got to walk according to the rule. There's only one rule with God. Away with it. That's what they said about Jesus. Away with it all. Away with it. Death to it. Crucifixion. Burial. Gone. 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 Thank God it's gone. Walk according to this rule. Hallelujah. God laid down one rule in heaven, my beloved, and it was the cross. One basic rule. Jesus is the cross. I know, Father. It's the cross. Hallelujah. Nothing can get past that. Sin, nor devil, nor world, nor flesh, nor things that are, or want to be, or once were. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It is God's finish. It is God's curtain. It is God's end. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It's impossible. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's believe it. And linked with the rule, the second verse, fulfill the law of Christ. Not the law of Sinai, not the law of the old, nor even the law of this or that or the other. Fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Glory. You're told one way. That's not the only way to fulfill the law of Christ, as it says, bear you one another's burdens. You'll fulfill the law of Christ, for instance, if you produce the fruit of the Spirit. That's the law of the Spirit of life in him, manifesting love, joy, peace, suffering, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness in the flesh. That's a law. The law of fruit-bearing. The law of life. It's the law called Christ, not just bearing somebody's burden. Donkeys do that sometimes. But so do lambs. And that's what Jesus did. You're to fulfill the law of C-H-R-I-S. That's the law. What law do you live under? C-H-R-I-S-T. The law of Christ. Do you? The rule of the new creation. And you've got to do it. This is the law of the house. This is the rule of God. This is the will of my Father. This is the disposition of the blessed Spirit in me. This is all my inheritance and all my joy and shall be all my end. But are you there? Are you there? Glory. You know who your mother is. And you know who your father is. You know that the household is the household of faith. You know that the seed is Christ. And you know that the flesh is your own. And in that flesh of yours, Christ revealed. And the rule, Christ. Is this the rule you live by day? Yes, it's Christ. Is this the law that reigns over you? Yes, it's Christ. But it's the seed that's growing in me. It's the flesh that manifests it. Amen. It's the joy of Father's heart. And it's the glory of Jerusalem which is above. Amen. Let's pray.